The next day, I popped down to the only store there was in Juba, and told them that we'd had this aeroplane problem, and that passengers would be wanting some odd things like razors, or I don't know what they might want, but providing they were ordinary, normal, everyday items, not suits, whatever. Anyway, they wouldn't have been able to get that sort of thing there. They ordered the everyday items, but they could charge it to the airways account to run a separate account, and then I would clear that all part of the settling of the accident. So he was very happy. I was very happy, and as far as I could see, the passengers were very happy. There was one little problem which arose, and one of the female passengers came along and said that they had a problem. They'd been down to the store to replace items that they wanted, and it was all very nice and happy, but they couldn't, there was something they could get. So I said, well, what's all that about? She said, well, it's up knickers. We can't get any replacements. They don't seem to have any ladies' knickers in that store, so wondered if there's anything else that I could recommend. And of course, and this never struck me before, but I realised then that all of the European wives of the station, as they had only did 9 months out in the Juba area, and then they went home 3 months leave, they of course could equip themselves for the period of duty without having to bother to buy any extra clothes. They were just equipped when they came out to last night up for a year, and then off they went back home again and re-equipped. And I don't know what the wives of the Greeks did, or the Indians, but certainly there was no facilities there for the English wives. After all, the black girls just didn't wear that sort of thing. The black girls around there wore virtually nothing. They just had a little leather apron around their waist, and that was it. The married women amongst them, they always had a skin slung over one shoulder and tied up on the opposite shoulder, but which indicated their status, but on the other hand covered very little. Anyway, I wondered what might be the answer, but I wasn't quite certain, so I went up to one of the government officials' wives and told her what my problem was. So she said, oh, that's all right, tell them to come up and see me. So I told the ladies if they did have that problem to go walk up the road to this little house on the, wherever it was, and ask for Mrs. So-and-so, and she would put them right. That seemed to be that, and as I heard nothing after that, I presume the problem was solved. After having had the passengers off that aircraft with us for about 3 days, we eventually got rid of them by passing them up on the normal regular flying bird that came along twice a week. That passed on the passengers and the mail, but there was still a problem of all the repair or whatever they were going to do about the aircraft. And although it was only 110 miles away from me, nevertheless it was in the other region, the Central African region. Consequently, it was technically out of my area. And Vernon Crutch, who was the manager of the Central African region, he came across and got himself organized on the basis that it's my responsibility, I look after it, full stop. He did, however, use me and the Juba station as the place for communication, so that I occasionally got somebody coming in from that area with messages to do that they wanted this done, that and this done, or certain signals to be sent off, etc., etc. So I really became, in that connection, only the liaison officer. Even when the short people came down and I arranged for them to get out to Farage in order to get on with the repairs of the aircraft. Again, it was all, I was only the middleman all the way. I had no real responsibility. I haven't, in fact, done any description of this, of Juba. I mean, I was doing other things, but it's...